This is here for Windows information protection, specifically keeping data, personal data and work data separate and secure using Windows information protection in Windows apps. And those last three words are the important part because this is about making your apps ready. So with that, how many people here identify as enterprise app developers? Okay. And most people who are app developers of any kind other than that? Okay. And IT or some other role? Okay. So this is actually a developer talk, and I actually expected that we would have a mix of different people. So the first part of this is going to go through what Windows Information Protection is all about. The higher level talk is probably tomorrow. My fellow Chris Hallam is going to be giving that talk. And then in the second part, I'm going to do a brief survey of the APIs that can be used to light up your application for Windows Information Protection. So with that, now I know who you are. I'm Derek Adam. I am going to be your presenter today. Keep your hands and feet inside the ride, and we'll have some fun here. Because this is for app developers, I like to remind everybody, you know, our apps are our babies. We pour our heart and soul into these things day after day. So when we release them, they can find a good place in the world. And here, we want to get them into the workplace. And that's what this talk is about. And so a lot of you are going to find this a little funny. I want people to identify with their customer. And honestly, the first person that comes to mind for people who are developing for you is the IT administrator. And I bet all of you know that the IT administrator is not just one person. But that only underscores how misunderstood the IT pro is. And so I'm going to compare this to another misunderstood character. Why Willy Wonka, by the way, right? Actually, I really wanted to get a picture of Gene Wilder with his crazy hair and the purple hat, but you have no idea how hard it is to get a movie image for commercial purposes. But I digress. Why Willy Wonka? Well, the people that he serves don't really understand what he does, how he does it, or why, and so they think he's a little off-center. In fact, they may think he's crazy. Why? Because everything has to be locked down in his factory, in the domain. It has to be locked down in your domain. And there are all of these rules that are put in place. They lock things down in the domain. But if he looks a little wild about the eyes, he's got good reason to be. His users make him crazy. What do I mean by that? Well, that data is leaking. We all know it is. And here's a fun fact or two for you. Here we go. Okay. 87% of senior managers regularly send work data to either a personal cloud or a personal email account. They actually admitted that in a survey in writing. Those same people, VPN up, 58% of them have admitted that they sent something sensitive to someone they shouldn't. And these leaks are expensive. Whether it's $240 up or down, give or take, that's an average across all industries, according to HIPAA now. It's expensive. So what do we do to help this crowd? Well, we respect the stewardship of data that we might have in our app. We don't reveal company secrets. And we respect the boundaries and access and use terms that we have for that data. Before, you may not have even had the tools to do so. Windows Information Protection gives them to you. The other constituent that you need to please is the information worker, the person actually using your app. And I've started a theme. Who thinks they know who this is? Go ahead, shout it out. Anybody? Okay, I'm messing with you. It's just people. It's just people like you and you and you and you and you and me. And what do we want? We want access to our stuff. We want it on our personal devices. We want it all the time. And we don't want very much management. No management if we can get away with it, but we know we can't. And some recognition that we make mistakes. Give us some help here. What do we do wrong? Just to underscore this, data is available everywhere, so the risk of it leaking is even greater than ever. And it often comes from someone inside. I don't want to poo-poo anyone who's thinking about the external attackers. There are some great talks about advanced threat protection, Windows Defender. Those are real threats. But most of your data leaks might be coming from someone inside, and it's a complete accident. For example, last year, I like this example because it happened just before Build 2015. The Australian Immigration Department leaked the travel itinerary, the passports, the visas for the G20 leaders when they were doing the G20 summit there. So someone in the Asia Cup knew where the president was going to be in his travels and when. So I think that person lost their job. And in case you think I'm just picking on our friends down under, a little closer to home, the US Government Services Administration reported a breach. They had over 100 Google Drives publicly accessible for over 5 months. We don't know how much data leaked. Maybe nothing, maybe all of it. They don't know. So there's a lot of focus on enterprise data being used and needing protection on a personal device, but it also needs to be protected on corporate devices. Those examples were within the business. So what has Windows done for you lately? Windows has been on a journey for a while offering information protection solutions. I think everyone here is familiar with BitLocker. It's also branded as device encryption. It has not as much management, but is on automatically on Instant Go devices. What about when the user, so the user's not present, some other guy has got it, your data's at rest, it's protected. Then there's the case where the user is present, they're thinking carefully. I've got some sensitive data here, I need to protect it. And for that, we have rights management. Rights Management Services was integrated into Office as Information Rights Management. It's the same technology. In 2013, we improved Azure Rights Management to be Azure AD Rights Management. And it was recently rebranded as Azure Information Protection. This allowed us to have business-to-business, business-to-consumer, and a simpler deployment story. Okay. So that's what happens when no one's there, and there's something when someone is there and thinking very carefully, but there's the gap. Most of the time, you have access to your data, but you're not really thinking that carefully about how to protect it, and that's when accidental leak happens. We looked at third-party solutions when we were looking at our solution. What should we do? What did they do? How can we do better? A lot of those other solutions are on mobile device patterns. So they create a little container in which your apps and your work data have to live, and you jump in and out of the sandbox. Users have to change apps to actually do something securely. They have to use some email app or secure browser instead of the one that they really want to use. The experience between mobile and desktop is very different, and it can be quite jarring. And of course, you have to pay for these things. It turns out that finding the balance can be quite hard. If you don't want to spend as much, you compromise on the user experience. If you want a better experience, you pay more. We think that if you want to find that balance, the only way to do it is if you have platform-level integration. So that's what we did. Our vision is to integrate data protection directly into the platform to protect corporate data against all of these accidental leaks that happen for personal email, cloud, et cetera, et cetera. So who here has heard of enterprise data protection? Okay, you also know that it was recently named Windows Information Protection. When we were still in development, it was called Enterprise Data Protection. I underscore that because a lot of the plumbing that you'll see still has the words enterprise data somewhere in it. It's in our namespace for the APIs, it's also in the capability, et cetera. But all of this is part of the Windows Information Protection feature. It protects data at rest and in use. It's platform integrated, so you don't have to jump back and forth in between different modes. Your corporate data remains identifiable and separate from the personal data, and we do this with encryption. Only your IT-allowed applications can access that data. And IT controls the keys, so you can do a selective wipe. And lastly, of course, we're giving you a common experience across mobile and desktop. There's another feature of Windows Information Protection on phone, on the mobile platform. It's an optional policy, but I think a lot of you are going to want to use it. What we do is we drop the key needed to access enterprise data when the screen is locked. This blocks read when the screen is locked. But because we've implemented this with asymmetric cryptography, we can drop the private key and still keep the public key to encrypt new data. So you can have a fresh experience, new email coming in, new files potentially being synchronized down, but an attacker doesn't get everything on the box. The keys necessary to access this are actually guarded by the credentials. And as some of you probably have heard in some of the other talks, the credentials are actually backed by hardware. So you get TPM anti-hammering protection for your data. And all of this helps mitigate against system-level attacks. So even if you had a zero-day in a kernel mode driver, you can't beat the key out of us because we don't know. You have to actually attack the TPM. We have this experience that's continuous. I like to call it the one experience. So you don't jump in between different containers. But you'll notice some of these applications don't need to have access to enterprise data. Those applications are unmanaged. You won't put them onto any allowed list for your company, per se. And then there's the other set of applications on the other side. These are applications, I like to think of these as the Oompa Loompas, the line of business apps. They're just happy being work all the time. That's all they do, that's all they ever do. And if they're not enlightened, then we protect all of the data that they touch. Every file is encrypted. We know it doesn't know what it's doing, we'll take care of it for them. That's how we isolate the data, is with encryption. The data is kept encrypted at rest, and the organization holds the keys. You can revoke those keys through MDM. So when you unenroll the device, that's how you get selective wipe. And we can block or audit, depending on what policy is selected by IT, the data transfer between these apps. So you can say, I don't want to let applications with enterprise data paste things into personal applications. Or you might set your policy to say, it's okay, but I want to audit that action, and I want the user to acknowledge what they're doing. By now, some of you are looking at this and saying, what about that stuff in the middle, Derek? Come on, there's a big gap. And that's where your ISVs come in. We have APIs to enlighten an application to handle both work and personal and maintain that boundary. And yes, Office and OneDrive already do this. So why you'd need to enlighten your app? I just said it. Your first reason, probably your best reason, is to handle both work and personal data at the same time safely. But before somebody leaves, yes, if you have an enterprise-only application, you might have work to do. You handle revoke gracefully. Remember I just said a minute ago that all of the data in an unenlightened application gets encrypted. If you need any of those files to run your application, you could be broken on a revoke. So you should at least test your application to make sure that it works in that scenario. You might need a tweak, or you may want to fully enlighten your application with more scenarios. Another very big scenario that's important is if you do file synchronization. We actually wipe the files on a phone after a selective wipe occurs to free up that space. If your file sync engine thinks that that's a user action, takes that delete, applies it in the cloud, and then applies it to all your devices, you just had a cascade delete of somebody's data. You will not be appreciated for that. Your app will not get on the allowed list. If you are doing an app that works on the phone, you want to handle the scenario of data protection under lock. You can listen to events and recognize when the screen is locked, I'm not going to be able to read files and buffers now, and recognize when the screen's back so you know to refresh the experience. And all in all, you're doing this so that you can be trusted. You want your app to be selected, chosen, anointed by the IT department to be able to access enterprise data. Okay, I've talked at you for a little bit. Why don't I show you what this looks like? And we can all pray to the demo deities that this will work. This is my actual laptop, and we're gonna hope that no policy came down to change things overnight. So where does this policy come from? Well, a couple of different places. If this were a personal device, I'd be in my accounts, going to Access Work or School, and I would have connected to one of my MDM solutions. Intune is Microsoft's MDM solution, and the other, the main vendors actually all support Windows Information Protection. This is a domain join machine, though. So I'm getting all of my policy from System Center Configuration Manager. Having said that, we really toned down the UI for this. Based on feedback, people were a little bit scared, and they also saw a lot of busyness, so we toned it right down. So the only hint here in my start screen is this briefcase that says one of my applications is managed. Part of that feedback was, when I see managed, I think that that means you've taken over all of my data. Well, if that's what you think it means, then that's what it really means. We're gonna change that. So this is a line of business application. It hasn't been enlightened for Windows Information Protection. These ones, though, don't get that treatment. We don't scare anyone there. So if I'm unlikely to see this, by the way, these glyphs are only turned on with policy. So if you don't turn on the icon overlay, you won't even see that much. Where are you likely to see this coming up? In fact, where is all of this data that's gonna be managed by Windows Information Protection? Well, one place you're gonna see it is in an enterprise sync engine, like OneDrive for Business. And you can see in the Explorer, I've got an expression of ownership. My enterprise owns this data in this OneDrive that belongs to Microsoft. But I have a personal OneDrive as well. My enterprise doesn't own that. Separating this out using encryption is what gives us that selective wipe experience. And how did I do that? OneDrive is a converged sync engine now. I have one piece of code handling both accounts. Okay. It turns out Dropbox does the same thing. They can also encrypt data for the enterprise. This is my work account, and this is my personal account. They do this using an API called isIdentityManaged. So there's an account that's associated with this. Is it managed? Yes. We'll protect all of the data that's associated with that. But that's not all they do. This is an enlightened application. It helps guard the boundary between work and personal. So if I try to take this encrypted file and say, I'll make a copy of it, and put this copy into my Dropbox personal, what happens? The first thing we see is that the copy engine of Windows preserved the protection of the source, right? It still gets this briefcase indicator that this is work data. But the next thing we see is, there seems to be a sync issue. So if we go and investigate that in Dropbox, it says, I can't sync that. I have an identity mismatch. This is work. It can't go into the personal context. Well, if I can't do it with Dropbox personal, can I do it with OneDrive personal? No. Your organization has a policy that prevents work files from going to a personal OneDrive. So this is guarded in this way, but this isn't the only way that I get my enterprise data, is it? I could be getting my data from a browser. I could have gone to OneDrive for Business and tried to download a file. What happens then? Well, you can see that it was automatically encrypted. Well, what happened there? We notice that this is a website that is actually marked as managed. It gets that familiar briefcase that says this is a work site. I don't get that treatment in my personal OneDrive. If I pull down this file, did I click it hard enough? Nope. I'll try one more time before moving on. All right. Well, it won't be protected because it belongs in the personal space. IE does the same thing. I'll try it from there. No go. Oh well, it happens from time to time. Let's say if I try to open some other personal file. Could be that I've got a personal spreadsheet maybe. I wonder if I've got anything sensitive in here. I don't know. Oh well. Sorry, it gets a little noisy in the Wi-Fi world. So I've got some personal content in here, and if I tried to take, some enterprise content, I had a secret formula here that I downloaded into my download directory. Only work-sanctioned applications get access to my data. If I try to open this secret formula, say, first I'll show you drag and drop and copy-paste and that sort of thing. So if I try to bring in this enterprise data, enabling editing, because I'm crossing the boundary between work and personal, and I have a policy that says override, I get a little reminder. The guardrails are up. If I want to move this in here, I have permission to, but I'm going to be audited. You could have set a policy here that said block, and then it just wouldn't go at all. The other protection that we have is that I can't open this data with just any application. If I try to open this secret formula with some application that's not on my list, I'll look for one in here that says personal files only. WordPad, for example. It's not on my list of sanctioned applications. I get access denied. Another thing that you can do in an allowed application is change the nature of your data. So I'll go back to my download. I'll just choose this text file. In here, I have the option to go and save this as work data. This is another way that enterprise data could appear on your device, right? Now, remember, there's this other application that doesn't have this privilege. This is a threat modeling tool. It's a line of business app. It tells me that it's a managed application. And if I go and create a new model, I'll just goof around here and add some OS process or something like that. When I do save as, I have exactly one option. It's work data. That's it. In fact, if I go and save it and then go to my documents directory, you can see it was automatically encrypted. I think there's probably, I've shown you Word. I could probably have shown you that within Word, you can have I wonder if I can open this text document in Word. I'll just do that. This is a personal file. Oh, come on. Okay. I know. So this is a personal file, and I think I had a secret formula around here for success. If I put these things side by side, it might be a little hard to tell whether I'm, you know, working on a work document or a personal document. And if I try to take my secret ingredient and put it into, this is a spec, right? No, actually, it could have been my great American novel or whatever it is. This is when I would be reminded. This is work data. Don't move it out there. I could, though, take this and put this into a work document, and I wouldn't get that prompt because we shouldn't get in your way when you're just working on work stuff. I've demonstrated a Word, I could have shown you Excel, but I bet there's one application that we all want to see, and that's Outlook. I bet everybody here uses Outlook, and it can be used for work and personal. They've done a really slick job here. If I took one of my emails, this is really my email account. I've navigated to just some place that is showing some news and that sort of thing. If I take my work data and try to put it into a personal context, it created it, encrypted, and of course it's not getting synchronized because it's enterprise data. But even within the application itself, if I try to move this email into my Hotmail account, I get the boundary protected. This is maybe a little bit more advanced scenario, and if there are some developers who wanted to see how that was done, I can go through that a little bit later. Okay, I've done a lot on the desktop, and I also said that this experience is the same on the phone. Well, let's see that. Can we see this yet? I'll start it over. I swear this was working fine this morning. Yeah, probably. It just doesn't want to do it. All right. I'm going to take the advice from the crowd and kill it from Task Manager. Oh, one of those did it. Okay, we can all see it now? Great. So there's our familiar start screen, and I'll go down to this OneDrive. This is the same OneDrive account, OneDrive for Business, that I was in before. There it is. There's that demo folder that we were all in. And if I take this secret formula, let's hope that Wi-Fi is working for this. I don't have terabytes of data on this phone, so I'm going to pull it down. And of course, because it's coming from an enterprise account, it's going to be protected as it's being downloaded. We'll go and take a copy of our inspiration. If we move this into, I didn't show you this before, I'll move it into a work context. So this should allow me to paste, and it does. I didn't get prompted because I'm still in that work context. It's still in the family. But if I go and try to put this, say, into this PTA meeting template that I have, oh, silly me. I tried to copy instead of paste. Copy. Paste. We get the same experience that we did on the desktop. Let's go over to the File Explorer because we have one on the phone. And I'm going to highlight this. I'm actually going to go to the SD card. We actually updated the file systems so that individual files can be encrypted on USB and SD cards. So the FAT and XFAT file systems now support EFS, whereas before this was just a feature of NTFS. And I'll go into, say, my pictures, and we see there's that familiar icon, the briefcase that tells me one of these things is work. I have a picture that I took of some whiteboard. I was going to do some meeting minutes, and let's see. This looks pretty good, actually. I don't need to type this up. So I'm just going to share this back to the team. And I'll just email them. But I can't use my Hotmail account. That would be crossing the boundary. If I'm careless, I could have leaked that. So let me try it again. I'll put it into email. And this time, I'm going to carefully choose my work account. I wasn't prompted. It stayed in the family. And I'm able to keep doing work. So I hope that gives you a feel for what the expectations are going to be on a work application going forward. So let's talk about those flows that we just showed. There's different data flows. We started at the very beginning. We provisioned the device. We enrolled it either in MDM or it was domain joined and I'm getting policy through SCCM. That provisions policy. It also causes the device to create keys. And there are three, at say the 10,000 foot level, there are three basic sets of policy that you put down. You give the list of applications that you permit to access your business data. You set the boundary around your network. In fact, all of your network properties, they can be in the cloud too, right? OneDrive for Business was being marked as work. And the application restriction policy. So do you allow overrides like we have in our deployment, or do you want to have a strict block? When data comes into the application, over the network, an enlightened application knows to protect that data. We can tell that that endpoint is an enterprise endpoint and that the data needs to be protected, like we did in Edge and IE, noting that that endpoint belongs to the enterprise and we need to protect it. When data leaves your application, goes from app to disk, there are several ways it can be protected. The first is to save it to an enterprise folder, like OneDrive for Business. Anything you drop into an enterprise protected folder automatically gets encrypted. The user can also save new data in an enlightened application as corporate data. Or the IT pro could have configured some applications like my threat modeling tool, a line of business app that only handles enterprise data. It will automatically encrypt all the data that it touches. And finally, your enlightened app can protect data based on the context, like Word does. Over the network or between applications, an enlightened app can maintain protection there too. In the case of app to app, you tell Windows that your application is currently handling enterprise data in that window, and Windows will take care of all of those protections, like the drag drop, like clipboard, and like share. And over the network, you can tell whether an endpoint is enterprise or not. If you're handling enterprise data, don't send it to a personal context. The last step in the life cycle is revoking. When you unenroll the device, we securely wipe the keys, and all of that enterprise data becomes inaccessible. I wanted to get ahead of a question that I often get about Windows information protection, and is, how is this related to the Intune walled garden? And what about Intune anyway? So Windows information protection can be managed by Intune, just like it manages iOS and Android devices in their so-called walled garden. So there are Windows information protection APIs for Windows, and Intune has its own SDK for iOS and Android. We did talk to the Intune team when we were creating our APIs, though. So there's a common experience, common metaphors around identity and how you protect data. Windows can enable policy, though, on unenlightened applications. You can just say that that application needs to be managed, and we'll manage it. In the other platforms, you need to use an IT pro tool for app wrapping. You essentially create another copy of the application that can be managed if it hasn't been enlightened for the Intune SDK directly. But the key takeaway is, there's one solution that Microsoft gives you for managing iOS, Android, and Windows now. Let's talk about your apps. And enterprise enlightenment for that means recognizing enterprise data sources, protecting it in use and at rest, and following policy. This actually means the flip side of the coin is automatic. It means that enterprise data is not personal. Personal data is not enterprise. Enterprise data managed, personal data not. This is something that finally IT and IWs, information workers, can agree on. And this is actually a nice selling point for your application. You can satisfy all your audiences. This may be a competitive advantage for you too if you get there before others. So step one, set up your development environment. I advise you to create a separate machine with test policy so that you don't confuse your own development with the policy that would apply to your development environment. And there's a couple of options for setting up your policy. Simplest, step one, we've created an application that sets up basic policy standalone, so without using an MDM or without using SCCM. It's a free download. It just went up in the store, I think, about a week and a half ago. And here's a quick link for it. I'll also put this at the resources at the end. It's a way to quickly and easily set up basic policy. You can test network scenarios. The one thing you can't do is cloud scenarios. For that, you may need to get an MDM experience or an SCCM experience. One of the simplest ways to do this is to get an Intune trial account. And it's as simple as going to that main page and selecting the Try Now button. This covers all of your policies, all of your scenarios, and simulates a real environment. There's a deployment guide available in TechNet right now. You follow that and you'll get everything that you need. This will also be in the resources slide at the end. For those of you who are more used to doing C++ unmanaged code, there's a couple of things that you need to do to set up your environment there. In Visual Studio, you need to turn on this flag for consume Windows runtime extensions. This is the WinRT API set. It's under the configuration properties C++ general, and it's called the ZW flag. The other thing that you need to do is turn off enable minimum rebuild. It's next door in the code generation path of the properties. The reason you need this is that the incremental linker doesn't allow adding Windows metadata to object files. It'll add a little time to your compile, but you need to. Public service announcement. WinRT is COM. So if you're not familiar with COM programming, you will have to decorate your main function with what your threading model is, either single-threaded or multi-threaded. Okay, preliminaries out of the way. How do we enlighten the app? You declare enlightenment. This starts off with, if you're a universal application, you declare the capability. There's the enterprise data policy capability. Among other things, it tells us prior to running you whether you know what you're doing with enterprise data. It's a restricted capability, so you may need to work with your account representative. If you don't have one of those, there's a simple way in the store to update that. If you have a Win32 or classic application, that's when you declare your app enabled in your resource section. So if you have a PE resource file, your resource.rc, for example, you say Microsoft EDP Enlightened App Info, add an ID for that that says 1. You also, I highly recommend, should add the EDP permissive app info one. This is what will smooth the way when you are doing a save as. It tells various parts of the operating system that you can go to the network, it's fine. Step 2, check to see if the API contract is available. You need version 3. So we've been in development for a while, and the latest set of APIs, the ones that are officially supported, are version 3. If it's not there, then Windows Information Protection won't apply to your device, and you can just skip to the end. Step 3. This is the longest step, and how long it is depends on how complicated your application is. So you enlighten for the data flows, protecting in use, and at rest. And to give this a little structure, I like to think that there's two big categories of application. There's apps that have local behavior, that are like productivity apps, and then there are apps that are network capable. Something that might be network practically only would be, say, a file sync engine, and local would be a local editor that doesn't save on the network. If you have to handle both scenarios, you'll have to cover all of these. And then there are the flows that we talked about. When data comes in, when data's in use, when data goes out, and events in the life cycle, including revoke. When data comes in, you check the enterprise tag on your data. If you have enterprise data, then you set your mode to enterprise. That tells us that we need to enforce policy for your application now. When data leaves, you protect it. And then when revoke occurs, that's when you close anything that's enterprise and clean up whatever is associated with it. Maybe you've got some configuration data associated with this work account. If you are doing data protection under lock, you register for the events for when the screen is locked and when it's unlocked. On the network side of things, you check to see, is that host enterprise? If it is, well, then you need to set context in order to access that. When data is leaving, again, you know whether your data is enterprise and you know whether the endpoint is enterprise. Block egress if it's enterprise going to personal. When revoke occurs, stop enterprise sync, right? You don't want to have that terrible cascade delete problem I talked about. On screen lock, you'll need to stop enterprise sync completely, and when it comes back, you can start your uploads again. So let's start at the beginning, checking for the enterprise tag. This is the first introduction for a lot of you to the namespace. It's under Windows Security Enterprise Data. There's that name again. The File Protection Manager has several methods in its class. Get Protection Info Async takes an iStorage item and returns a protection status and an identity string. The identity string can be fed into later APIs. It's really that simple. When you actually are protected, that's when you do things like going to enterprise mode and et cetera. But that's not all. It is possible, because we released a feature called Selective Wipe prior to Windows Information Protection, that your data is already protected, but not technically managed. In that case, you want to check that identity string I just got. It's an email address or a domain, and that will tell you if it's managed. If it's managed, that's when you do your Windows Information Protection stuff. And of course, as a good policy, if it's unprotected, you do the personal thing, and if it's revoked, you do your revoke handling, etc. When you're doing a share operation in a universal app, or when you are doing a copy-paste action, you get back a data package, and in there is a class called the data package property set view. You can look at the property set, and one of those properties is enterprise ID. When it's tagged, it's enterprise and managed. When it's not, it's personal. Simple. On the network side of things, when data's coming in, to check if a host is enterprise, we have this very long API. Get primary managed identity for network endpoint async. Don't blame me. That's just how the policy works when you go to the star chamber. I abbreviated this as GPM if NIA to be funny, and people started using it because it's faster to say. Anyway, it takes a hostname object, returns an enterprise identity string, and of course, if it's empty, it's personal. Of course, you check your value once you get it back. If the enterprise ID is empty, it's managed, you can protect your downloads, etc. When data is in use, you can set that mode. In a universal app, the idea of a window is called an app view, and you can get a protection policy manager instance for your view with the get for current view. Once you have your package or your protection policy manager, you can set the identity on that. That lets us know to protect the clipboard, your drag objects, your share. There you go. You could probably take this function wholesale and stick it into your code. There's the get for view, and you apply your ID. Next. When data is in use, you set your context for your network. Create current thread network context marks your thread so that any sockets created on that thread are protected. Without this, we're going to treat it as personal, and you won't get access. There's a couple of different ways of doing this. I recommend that you use the using context, because then you get this experience. The context is automatically disposed when you leave the scope of the using statement. And I say that because if you just forget to do the .dispose method, and you go to context, strange things can happen, including your app crashing. So highly recommend that you make sure that you dispose of it. In other languages, you use the .dispose method or .delete method, etc. But just, you have to do this before you leave scope. I actually recommend you do this as quickly as possible because there may be other side effects in your code if it isn't cleaned up right away. Okay, when data's leaving, there's lots of ways that you can protect data. Well, really there's three, but I'm gonna show you two. The first one is if you're saving directly to a file. There's this protect async method. It takes an iStorage item and one of those enterprise IDs, an email string or a domain string, and it protects data. It's as simple as this. One line of code. Okay, well, really, you wanna, as a best practice, also check your result, but one line of code, as they say in PM land. All right. Another way to do this is if you don't wanna do an entire file, you can protect individual buffers. It also is called protect async, but it's in the data protection manager instead of the file protection manager. If you have more data than just a small buffer, there's a stream API that's like this. I'm not gonna go through it. I leave that as an exercise for the listener. This one takes a buffer and an enterprise ID and it returns a new iBuffer. And you might go, well, that's a strange construct. Why don't you just take my buffer? We need to add metadata to the beginning of it. And how long that metadata is gonna depend on our implementation of the crypto. And we reserve the right to improve that crypto over time. So we will have to allocate the space for that and give you back the buffer. Looks pretty familiar, right? We changed file to data and protect async and buffer, but really it's the same thing. Again, check your return result. It is possible to fail this, and by fail I don't mean return an error, I mean that we will tell you that it wasn't protected. Perhaps your policy isn't letting your application do this. There may be other reasons, but that's probably the most likely one. Finally, when you're saving your data, we updated the save experiences in Windows. So the file picker now takes an enterprise ID. This lets you set the context in that dropdown ahead of time. So if you know that you're creating enterprise data and you haven't told us yet, this is one way you can do that. Straightforward. It's just the property mechanism. You add .enterprise ID, tell us the string, and you're good. All right. Event handling, it turns out, is the same for both. What you do with your events may be different depending on whether you're network capable or not. In the case of strictly local behavior, you're going to want to close and clean up after yourself. In the case of network side of things, you probably want to break your sync relationship if there is one so you don't do that cascade delete. But it's really just as simple as registering this handler and then coding up the handler. In this case, I gave a separate routine for doing this. It's like, why did I create a handler and then just call a different one? Well, it's because you may want to do this in another case. Your app might not be running when a revoke comes in. So we have an API that tells you, has revoke happened since this time? So if you have protected some data, you know that that's, from that point, you knew you were managed, squirrel that away in some config file, and then check it when your app launches. So at the beginning, you register for the event, and then you check if you've been done that. That avoids a race condition. For data protection under lock, register for the screen lock and unlock events, same idea, but you do want to register for both. You want to suddenly go dark because we're locked and you didn't unlock. You can create new data, though. So if you want to receive new emails into your email application, new messages, new sync files, whatever, you can create it under lock. You just can't read the old ones that you put away. Also, when you get that lock event, to be really trustworthy, you want to close as much of your open content as possible so that none of that's going to be available in memory. I'm not going to belabor this. It's just a matter of making a function and registering it with the handler. So there's some of our resources. The first one is a dev guide. For all of your special, your app is a beautiful butterfly, and all those deep scenarios and corner cases, you can find that in the WIP dev guide. There's the WIP Developer Assistant. I created a shortcut for that too. If you can't remember this shortcut, you can just go to the store and look for WIP setup, blah, 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 and you'll see it right away. It's in like the first entry, I believe. The WIP deployment guide has been out since build 2015, so around March. It's very thorough. So if you want to get your trial Intune account and go and set up an environment to test, that's how you can do it. And all of our samples for this are in GitHub. They are in the universal samples section, and you can just go to town, put that into Visual Studio. There are several other developer scenarios. I'm basically done for content, but there are other scenarios that you can go through. Tomorrow, Chris will go through kind of that first half of this talk with probably more marketing type announcements. He may mention some more deployment issues as opposed to developer issues. And if you want to actually do deployment, there's a hands-on lab you can just download. You go to MyIgnite, and it's right there. Search for Windows Information Protection. It's in the first three items, I think, if you sort by relevance. There's some other breakout sessions that you can download. I think the only one that you can reach now is that 4 o'clock one by Ruella. But all of them are, of course, downloadable after being recorded. There's a couple tomorrow as well, and that's it. So my call to action to you app developers is go ensure that your app is trustworthy. Crawl, walk, run plan is try out the tools and samples. You want to start walking, test your app, make sure that it's working. And then to really take it to town, fully enlighten your application using the dev guide that we just showed you. And that's it. Get your app ready for management. With that, remember that your trustworthy apps are the ones that are going to be chosen. And it's really your golden ticket into the enterprise. All right. So I've deliberately left some time on the clock to take questions. Golden ticket into the first question. Okay, here. You want to come to the mic so it can be recorded?
Is there any way to prevent the action going the other way? In other words, I don't want to leak, you know, my personal family mail or to my, you know, better half to a distribution list on the office mail system.
I think the short answer is no.
No.
Right? It was originally meant for enterprise data protection. So you can freely take your personal content and give it to your company, right? That there's nothing for like, between personal or anything like that. Okay, you're all experts now. Okay, if there are no questions that you want to make public, you can join me in the expo. We're going to be down in the developer area. It's kind of central, and I'll take your questions there. For anything that's like maybe more deep than I went into today, I can help you with that. Like maybe you have a drop target you want to override or anything special like that, I'll be there for that. I can also answer deployment questions. I'm already helping several customers with that, and I'm also the SDK owner, so there you go. All right, thanks very much.